In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. If you are paying attention to the gospel this morning, you would be right to do a proverbial double take. Wait a second. Did he just say, hate your family and your life? Did he say there are people who cannot be my disciple? This seems in direct contradiction to everything we've been taught about Christ, about salvation. These are strong words. They do not contradict anything that has been taught. Instead, it's more of a preseason talk from a coach or a rousing speech by a general before battle. This season is going to be tough. I'm going to break you down to build you up. You cannot go out there with any hesitation, with any fear. If you look at the passage in the context of Jesus' mission, he is preparing to enter Jerusalem to die for us. He is teaching us that he is the real deal, not just a wonder worker. Thankfully, Jesus is not saying to literally hate your family. He is using Semitic hyperbole, a poetic exaggeration, which you may be thinking that sounds awfully convenient. But if you look at the passage as a whole, you see it, and you see the purpose. Jesus is pointing out that there is nothing greater than our relationship with God. If you recall the commandments and Jesus' earlier teachings, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole being. The reality is, when God is first in any relationship, it becomes stronger. Our relationships, our very lives, are gifts from God. They are precious and worth fighting for, but they are meaningless or non-existent without God. So if God gets the back burner, these great gifts are moot. Jesus isn't asking for hate, he's asking for detachment. A detachment that puts God in the middle of your family, of your relationships. Detachment that makes room for the greatest glue in the universe. Okay, but what about Jesus saying, some people cannot be my disciple? Salvation is open to all. There was a hubbub when Pope Francis said that even atheists can get to heaven. The reality is Christ's sacrifice has opened the gates of heaven for all mankind. His blood has covered our sins, and by his incarnation we are higher than the angels. But we have to say yes. Not only do we have to say yes, but we have to live yes. The first reading is a reminder that we can't see as far as God, that we are burdened with concerns and frail bodies, as if we didn't already know that. The second reading is St. Paul in prison, preparing to be martyred, detaching himself from his most precious things. He says, I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. The gospel puts it all together. The two parables are illustrating for us that living yes is not easy. That's why it's a conscious choice we have to work at. There is no mystery that what we are getting into. We have to pick up our cross and follow him. That's what being a disciple is. The cost of discipleship, the cost of salvation, appears incredible, maybe more than we think we can afford. But what are we using to pay for this great gift? God has given you everything, your life, your family, your friends, your talents, your comfort, and even your reason. We have to spend it. We get up each day and decide what to do with these things. There are only two things on the market, salvation or damnation. God is not asking for more than we can handle. He is asking us for trust. If we don't live a yes to God's question, do you love me, then we are left with ashes and dust. But if we do say yes, we've gotten the steal, eternal life and happiness. I hope that you pray and fast for peace in Syria. It's a small way to live our yes. I hope you get to confession when you realize you've been sold a bill of goods. God offers full refunds, even on things he wasn't selling. I hope you see that we have a remarkably honest Savior who does not lie and say it's easy, but he reminds us that it's worth it. The pearl of great price is ours for a yes. There's no fine print. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.